Just shortly before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he gave his apostles what's called the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Matthew's account of this Great Commission reads, that Jesus spoke to them, that is his apostles, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In the Gospel of Mark, the Great Commission is worded this way, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." That's found in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. In both of these passages, we notice the mention of baptism. In Matthew, it's related to the process of making disciples. In Mark, it's mentioned in connection with salvation. So whatever the purpose of baptism, it must have been extremely important to Jesus because it was something that he commanded. So someone might ask, well, what is baptism? Is it pouring, sprinkling, or immersion? Is baptism in water or in the Spirit? They might ask, what is the purpose of baptism? Is it for the remission of sins or because our sins have already been forgiven? Is it to be saved or a public confession of faith having already been saved? Someone might ask, why should I be baptized? Should infants be baptized? Should just anyone be baptized? And someone might ask, is there ever a need to be rebaptized? What if I was baptized as an infant? What if I was baptized for the wrong reason? What if I have sinned greatly after being baptized? These and many other questions are often asked when the subject of baptism is brought up. I want to start a series today devoted to answering these and other questions related to baptism. Since it was commanded by Christ, it is certainly worthy of careful consideration. And it's my intention to gather from the Bible what is actually taught on this subject. And it's my prayer that you will have the attitude of those in Berea in Acts 17 verse 11, where they received the word with all readiness. In other words, they listened carefully and had a desire to at least understand, if at first you don't agree. And they wanted to search the scriptures. In other words, to read the Bible carefully to see if what was being said is true. And I pray that you'll want to read your Bible carefully as we go through this discussion on baptism to see if what I'm saying is true. And please base your knowledge of what we're talking about on the Word of God and not on feelings or emotions. So in this lesson, we're going to simply consider how the apostles carried out the commission that Jesus gave them to see what they said about baptism in their preaching. So we're going to begin with the baptism in preaching in the preaching of Peter, like on the day of Pentecost. In the first sermon, Peter commanded people to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 in verse 38. Upon encouraging his audience to be saved, the response for many was for many to be baptized. We see that in Acts 2 and down to about verse 41, 38 through 41. So does "for" mean in order to or because of? Does it mean for salvation or because you've already received salvation? So we find the same grammatical construction in Matthew 26 and verse 28, where Jesus said his blood would be shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus clearly meant that it was in order to provide remission of sins and not because sins had already been remitted. With rare exception, the Greek word here means into or to, unto, for, or toward. So we also notice here that to be baptized then is joined by the conjunction and to the command, repent. Acts 2 and verse 38. Both are commanded for the remission of sins. Just as people were commanded to repent for or in order to receive the remission of sins. So they were commanded to be baptized for in order to the remission of sins. Now we go forward to Acts chapter 10, and we're at the household of Cornelius. In the first gospel sermon to the Gentiles, Peter followed up by commanding his audience to be baptized. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. Now it's evident that Peter was commanded, that what Peter commanded involved baptism in water, verses 47 and 48 of this text. Another study will examine whether the people were saved when the Spirit fell upon them or when they were baptized as Peter commanded. At the very least, we can say that Peter's preaching was in harmony with the statements of Jesus in the Great Commission. Preach the gospel, command the people to be baptized. That's simply how the Great Commission is stated. So far, the indication appears that it was a water baptism and done for the remission of sins. So now let's consider one who actually not only an apostle, but someone who was filled with the Spirit. Let's consider the baptism in the preaching of Philip. He wasn't an apostle, but he was one filled with the Holy Spirit. He preached to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. Like I said, even though he wasn't an apostle, he went to Samaria and he preached Christ. We see that in verse 5. The response to his preaching, this type of preaching, says in verse 12, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then you go into the latter part of this chapter and you see that Philip met with the Ethiopian eunuch. To this very religious man, Philip preached Jesus. Acts 8 and verse 35. And though we're not told the content of Philip's sermon, what he actually preached to the eunuch, from his question, though, we can understand that it must have included baptism. We see that in Acts 8, verses 36 and 38. The eunuch asked, you know, said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? So like Peter, Philip preached Jesus, not only by telling people about Jesus, but also what Jesus commanded. Baptism was an immediate result of this type of preaching. Now, is this surprising in light of Jesus' statement in Matthew 28 and verse 19 and Mark 16 verses 15 and 16? So let's consider Paul's preaching on baptism. We're staying in the book of Acts, and in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, we see the conversion of Lydia. Again, we note that baptism was followed by apostolic preaching. We see this in verses 13 through 15. As evidence that she gave heed, she listened to the things that Paul had spoken, and she and her household were baptized. We notice her comment in verse 15 of that chapter. So how could Paul have judged her to be faithful to the Lord? By her response to the command of the Lord concerning baptism. Then the conversion of the Philippian jailer, also in Acts 16. Paul tells the jailer that he must believe on the Lord to be saved, verses 30 and 31. Paul went on to speak concerning the word of the Lord to him and his family, verse 32. And in response, they were immediately baptized, verses 33 and 34. So evidently the word of the Lord stressed the need to be baptized. But not just baptized, but to be baptized quickly. In fact, every detailed example of conversion found in the book of Acts, people were baptized after only one lesson. So we flash forward, if you will, to Acts 22. And Paul talks about his own conversion. He recounts his own conversion in this chapter, 22, in verses 10 through 16. And he describes how he was told to go to Damascus, because there would be one there that would tell him all things appointed for him to do. And one of those things was what you must do. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. One of the things he was told to do was to be baptized without delay. We see that recorded in his own words in Acts 22 and verse 16. Ananias told him in that account to arise and wash away your sins. We do well to note here that despite seeing the Lord on the road to Damascus and having spent 3 days fasting and praying, according to Acts 9, verses 9 through 11, that Paul was still in his sins. Seeing the Lord didn't save him. Accepting Jesus as his Lord didn't save him, Acts 22 and verse 10. Praying and fasting for 3 days, that didn't save him. He wasn't saved until he was baptized to wash away his sins. And we'll examine that later. So we need to notice that baptism played a prominent role in the apostles' preaching. And that becomes evident when we compare what is revealed in the examples of conversion throughout the book of Acts. You look at Matthew's account and Mark's account of the Great Commission, Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20, and Mark 16 verses 15 and 16. And in these examples of conversion, you look at the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. The people there were told to repent, and they repented. The people there were told to be baptized, and they were baptized. The people of Samaria in Acts chapter 8 were told to believe, and they were baptized, verses 12 and 13. The Ethiopian eunuch believed the preaching of Philip, Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 36, and he confessed that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was baptized, according to verse 38. Now, in Saul's account of his conversion in Acts chapter 9, we see in verse 16 that he was baptized. Cornelius believed in Acts 10 and verse 43 and was baptized according to verse 48. Lydia in Acts 16 and verse 14 listened, heeded what was being preached, and was baptized, verse 15. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16, verses 30 through 34, believed what was being spoken of by Paul about Jesus, in verse 33 said he was baptized, he and his household. In every case of conversion described in detail in the book of Acts, baptism is mentioned. Whether they're told to believe, repent, confess, those things may not be mentioned every time, but in every case, every account, they were always baptized. So clearly, baptism was an important theme of the apostles' preaching. G.R. Beasley Murray, a Baptist scholar, has observed, baptism is a part of the proclamation of Christ. In an apostolic sermon, it comes as its logical conclusion. He spoke this and wrote it in a book on baptism in the New Testament from 1962. And what should be proclaimed regarding baptism? Well, in this lesson, we see that it's a command for the remission of sins. It's to be done to wash away sins. It involved water. And it was to be done immediately, with no delay, even after midnight in Acts 16. And this would certainly suggest that baptism is necessary for salvation. But is this a fair conclusion to draw from the preaching of the apostles? Is this conclusion consistent with the teaching of the apostles as found in their letters, their writings? Well, we'll discuss this and other topics as we go through this study of baptism. If you'd like to speak with me, you can look me up on Facebook. You can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can go to the church's website and listen to this again. That's church@eastside.com. Again, thank you for being with me.